Now the story of a Honduran family that finally got some good news. Beth Fertig is a senior reporter for WNYC. She's been following this family and told us how their journey to the U.S. got started.
So last year, in the summer of 2018, Ana Batiz and her daughters, Susan and Kirad, both teenagers, left Honduras and came to the U.S. border. Ana and Susan both have HIV. Kirad does not. Susan was 18 at the time, and because of that, Customs and Border Protection took her away from her mom and younger sister and sent her to adult detention. Ana and Kirad, however, were left to have an interview with an asylum officer to see if they qualified for asylum. They claimed HIV persecution, but Susan was not with them. She was still in an adult detention center. And when she was interviewed about whether she had a credible fear of returning, she failed the same test and was ultimately deported back to Honduras.
So they chose to leave Honduras because they're HIV positive, and as such, they were being persecuted, or the two of the three.
Yes. Ana was an HIV positive advocate working on behalf of other people with HIV. She was known pretty well in Honduras, especially in her community, which is Garifuna. They are Black indigenous people who live on the coast, the Atlantic coast. They have the highest prevalence of HIV in Honduras. And people knew that her daughter, Susan, was also HIV positive. So Ana would be harassed and told, you know, that she's dirty and people didn't want to buy bread from her. Susan, when she would go to school, the kids were very, very cruel to her. They would beat her up. They would lock her in a bathroom and push her head in a filthy toilet. She and her sister Kirad told me about this. And it was such bad persecution that they couldn't go back to school.
So the big development this week for Ana is that on Tuesday, her asylum claim was approved. What was that day like for her and her family?
It was an amazing day for them because they had come to immigration court expecting to go through a trial, you know, to be asked a lot of questions, to prove that they really had suffered persecution. Their lawyer had prepared a file that was probably 10 inches thick with documentation on the persecution. And yet when they got to court, the government attorney did not put up any objection to granting them asylum. She said, I agree that they meet the burden for qualifying for asylum. And the judge said, I agree too. Welcome to America.
So I imagine that they wanted to get in touch with Susan back in Honduras pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, they did. As soon as they left the building, they called her. Kirad called. She told her the good news. She was so excited. And then she passed the phone to her mom. So you can hear them all talking.
Hola, hija.
Hola, ma.
Pronto vas a estar con nosotros, okay? ¿Estás alegre?
Sí.
Se logró, Susa. Yo te dije que confiaras. ¿Verdad que sí?
Sí, mami.
Pronto te voy a dar un abrazo bueno.
And that was Ana basically telling Susan, see, I told you we'd win, and I can't wait to see you. When I do, I'm going to give you such a big hug.
So how soon can she bring Susan to the U.S.?
Her lawyer says that she's applying right away to bring her as a dependent. Susan's applied for her own Honduran passport so she can come. But it could take up to a year because it's kind of backlogged. It's a difficult thing to do.
Now, my big question is, if Ana and Susan presented nearly identical asylum cases to U.S. officials, how could one be approved and not the other?
It really shows the randomness of the process and how it depends on each individual and the asylum officer that they encounter. So for Ana, it was a very easy process. She was, you know, interviewed and let go the very next day to go on to New York with her younger daughter, Kirad. But Susan, who was in a detention center for several weeks before she was interviewed, she's there by herself. She's never been apart from her mom before. She didn't know what to say at all. I think there were some communication problems when I looked at the transcript. But at one point she was asked, did you ever get help from the police? And she acknowledged that there was a police officer who helped her once. And that seemed to negate the whole story, that by saying that a police officer helped her, she didn't have grounds for asylum. And I spoke to several experts who said they were kind of mixed on this. Some said, well, that asylum officer should have asked additional questions. You know, where was her mom and what else happened after the police officer helped you? Others said, well, that was enough. The asylum officer didn't have to go any further. So it's up to the individual asylum officer if they're going to try to put that in a bigger context. And Christina Velez, Ana's attorney, believes that this is part of a bigger issue right now in that the Trump administration, with its very hardline immigration policies, is discouraging asylum officers from letting people in.
What we're seeing with Susan versus Anna is the outcome of that pressure, I think. And the outcome is inconsistent adjudications. And we see that someone who was turned away, who shares many of the same facts as Anna, was perhaps wrongly turned away.
And we were talking at a diner after the family won asylum, and you know, Christina said it shows how irrational it can often seem.
Beth Fertig is a senior reporter for WNYC. Thanks a lot, Beth.
You're welcome.